Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And this expert segment with Albert Breer is brought to you by Burrs Heating and Cooling. Call the experts at Burrs Heating and Cooling or visit Burrs, B-E-R-S, HVAC.com. Albert Breer with us now. Albert, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
I'm good. How are you guys doing? Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, Albert. Same to you. Albert, the Steelers are crying foul. They feel like they're being treated wrong by the league in this situation. Are you buying what they're selling?
I would probably be mad if I were them too. They got their bye week taken away, right? Which was not their fault. And, you know, now they're in a position where their mini bye, and you guys know this, every team gets like a bye and a mini bye coming off the Thursday night game. Now that's gone too. So, you know, I can certainly understand why the Steelers players are upset. I'm sure all of them probably regarded this weekend as their one chance without having had their bye to kind of catch their breath. And they were hoping they'd be 11-0 going into that. And the fact that it's now been taken away, I can understand why they're upset. That said, I think everybody knew that, you know, this is sort of what we were signing up for, that, you know, when they decided to play football through the pandemic and when the players and the teams negotiated everything, that there would be competitive inequities and that there would be screwy things about the season. And so, you know, the fact that they got unlucky twice sucks, but it doesn't mean that there's any sort of injustice here.
Albert, Just your thoughts on Baltimore right now. Where are they at as a team? Where's Lamar Jackson at? I mean, obviously they've lost a few games here, and they're kind. I mean, listen, they're behind the Browns right now, which is surprising considering how they come into the season, you know, as these big favorites and with the defending MVP of the league. It doesn't look like Baltimore we saw last year.
Yeah, and you know, Dustin, I would say that, like, I think what they're going through isn't unusual. We've seen it with young quarterbacks before. And it's sort of, I think, a product of the way that young quarterbacks are developed a little differently now, where I think 20 years ago it was sort of, all right, you're going to come in, you're going to learn our system, sink or swim. And we'd see, you know, right away, guys have problems and, you know, have to grow through it and everything else. And then you hoped, like, in year two or year three, you saw them turn a corner. Now it's a little different than that because I think, you know, offensive coaches in the NFL are more open-minded and more creative. I think what you're seeing is teams starting to meet the young quarterbacks halfway. So they'll put in college stuff. They'll put in stuff the player's familiar with to try to get him going and try to get him rolling and build him some momentum. But there's eventually always going to come to a point. There's always going to come a point when you sort of run out, you know, and teams have caught up to what you're doing. And then you have to go through the natural growth of becoming an NFL quarterback. I think Baker went through that to some degree too. Like, I think the Browns did some things to get Baker rolling when he was a rookie that really, really worked. And then, you know, once teams sort of come up with an idea of how to stop that stuff, then it's on the quarterback to sort of learn how to counterpunch. And so I think Lamar Jackson's sort of in that area right now of his development. And we've seen a lot of other quarterbacks go through it too. I mean, Carson Wentz, I think, is struggling with it right now. We've seen it go the wrong way in some cases. Tim Tebow, Robert Griffin III, Colin Kaepernick. So, you know, there's no guarantee he's going to come out of it. But there have been cases of guys working through that in the past. And, now we'll see. Now we'll see whether or not Lamar Jackson can be, you know, the sort of quarterback he was last year, but on a sustainable level.
Albert, I don't understand why, and I think Brian, you know, last week I said I thought Brian Flores was the coach of the year, and then after what he did last week, I was like, well, now I'm voting for Stefanski. I'm changing my vote. Yeah. I don't understand. I know Tua wasn't playing well last week, but you drafted him in the first round. He'd won every game he started. Are you going to pull him every game he doesn't play well? I don't understand.
You know what, though? It kind of lines up with the first decision, though, doesn't it, if you think about it? Because, like, I mean, most people thought, like, well, there's no reason to pull Fitzpatrick, and he did it, right? So,
right.
The one thing I like about Brian Flores, I've always liked about Brian Flores, is he doesn't worry about what any of us think. Like, he's going to do what he thinks
smart.
He's going to do what he thinks is in the best interest of the team consistently. And, you know, the same way I think, you know, like, I trusted him. When he made the move to criticism, I think I probably said it to you guys, I know I said it a bunch of different places, you know, I trust that Brian Flores has the pulse of his locker room, and I don't think he would do this if he couldn't sell the decision to his locker room. But I know the way he is, and I know how he connects with people and everything else. And so I'd say the same thing here. I think, you know, there was probably a point in that game where he probably felt like he had to do right by the other 51 guys in uniform. And, you know, the feeling being we're in the playoff race and this isn't working right now. So we got to pull every lever we possibly can to try to create a spark. And if that meant, like, you know, walking away, doing something that generally teams don't do, he's willing to do it. So was it the right thing? I think we can debate that. But the one thing that I do like about it is that he's willing to go against what, you know, the normal coaching playbook would tell you to do to try and do the right thing for his team.
Albert, what's up with Brady this year in primetime?
I don't know if primetime is the right. You see, Dustin, I do think, I don't know, like it's the right way to look at it is primetime, because naturally in primetime you're going to play better opponents, right? So, you know, I think, you know, as part of that, like, you know, they've played better opponents in primetime and he's had more issues against better opponents. I just think that there's, I mean, to me, like, there was a moment in that game where I really looked at it and I said there's a problem here. You guys remember the double pass, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so for everybody who didn't see it, like, he basically threw it and got tipped, and he winds up catching it, and he just hucks it downfield. Now, Brady knows you can't do that, but, I feel like we've seen that in points of his career where frustration gets the better of him, and he'll do something like that. And it's just his competitiveness getting the best of him. But when I see that, I know I sort of feel like, at least I know that he's reached a point of frustration. And I think he's sort of reached that point of frustration because it's been a frustrating process trying to meld what he does well and what he's done for 20 years and then what Bruce Arians' offense is. And I think there are two things that you really need to look at here with that fit. Number one, Brady's always played the position like a point guard. He's never been a bombs away downfield thrower. Like, he's happy to go on a 10, 11, 12 play drive to score. Like that's his wheelhouse. And Bruce Arians' offense has always been a downfield offense. So that's one thing that doesn't quite line up with the other. The other thing is the Patriots would never snap the ball into a bad call, right? One way or another, Brady would always have some sort of answer for whatever he saw out there on the other side. And on occasions he didn't, he might call a timeout. But for the most part, like, there would always be an answer in the Patriots offense for whatever was in front of him. And I'm not sure he feels that way about Bruce Arians' offense. And, you know, what I mean by that, it's the mic calls, it's the hots, it's all the different stuff that he had at his disposal in the Patriots offense that allowed him to kind of control the game. And he was never calling the game in New England. Like, you know, Peyton would call it sometimes in Indianapolis or Denver. But he always had, like, the tools to basically get where he needed to go and get the call where it needed to be. And I think the fact that he doesn't have that as much in Bruce Arians' offense is another point of frustration. So I would say the overall nature of the offense, downfield versus sort of, you know, the short game, and then the ability to kind of get in the right call on a consistent basis. I think those are two things where I can at least see watching. It feels like he's got real frustration.
We're talking with Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, let's get to the Browns. They're 7-3 off their win against Philadelphia. Actually, before we get to the Browns, you know, I'm not watching Philadelphia week in, week out like I'm watching the Browns. And maybe right. It doesn't look this way all the time. And you know, we've been wondering.
It's looked that way for a while.
Well, Carson Wentz looked to me like he has no – like he's scared to throw the ball. Like he has lost all his nerve. He double clutches. He hesitates. What has happened to this guy?
He looks broken, doesn't he?
Yeah, broken.
I mean, I think it's it's sort of what I touched on with Lamar, where I think that they did a lot of things to make him comfortable early, and part of it was you can't play Carson like a typical pocket quarterback, right? Like, so they would do all the RPO stuff, and they would do things to sort of get him playing fast and get him rolling. And I do think there's an element of, like, the NFL having caught up to a lot of the things the Eagles were doing. He lost some coaching infrastructure, so that's part of it. I think losing Frank Reich was a big deal. Lost John DeFilippo as his quarterback's coach. And then they've had the injuries this year. Now, that said, they had a lot of those guys back on Sunday against the Browns, right? So Jason Peters played, Jason Kelce played, Alshon Jeffrey was out there, Dallas Goedert was out there. But they had a lot of the infrastructure back. And it still looked that way. And that was against the Browns defense that, by the way, was without its best player. Right? So, like, you add all those things up, and I can just tell you, having talked to defensive coaches who've coached against him over the last 2 months, they feel like he's pressing. They feel like he's not trusting what he's seeing. It just feels like a quarterback who's in his own head. Yeah. And I think ideally what you might want to do is you might want to shut him down for a few weeks to, like, help him kind of get himself back on track. The problem with that is the implications it has in Philly. Like, if you bench him and you go to Jalen Hurts and Jalen Hurts starts playing really well, or it just the offense is more functional without Carson Wentz in there, now are you kind of making the problem worse psychologically? So it sort of feels like the team's between a rock and a hard place right now, which is probably why they've committed to, we're going to let him work through this and see where it goes.
Yeah, it is fascinating because I'm thinking this guy used to be one of the best quarterbacks in football, Albert.
Right.
And just watching him play the game right now, he looks like he's seeing ghosts. He looks like he's absolutely lost. And I don't know. I mean, like, we talked with Ross Tucker. Bull was off yesterday. Ross was on. He does a lot of stuff in Philadelphia. He thinks that, you know, Wentz can get his mojo back at some point, but I'm thinking, like, how? I mean, he doesn't even look like he can play the position right now. It's almost I kind of feel like they have to go to Hurts at some point because they still can win the division.
You know, the crazy thing is, so he got drafted behind Goff, right? And I think most of us for the first 3 or 4 years looked like, oh, you know, Goff's okay, but the Rams probably made a mistake passing on Wentz.
Yeah.
Does anyone feel that way anymore?
No.
I mean, like, Goff looks great. Like, and I'm not saying Goff is Tom Brady or Peyton Manning or anything like that, but, I mean, you can win with him. And he looks like Jared Goff playing the game, he looks totally competent, right?
Yes.
And you need to be good around him, and he's got Sean McVay, and that makes a difference, of course. But, I mean, Jared Goff looks like a far more competent quarterback right now than Carson Wentz, which I'm not sure any of us would have said that. And, I mean, like, the crazy thing about it is you look back at that class, like, I mean – you wouldn't take either of them over Dak Prescott, even though Dak Prescott's just suffered a debilitating injury. So I think it's, like, a good lesson when you look at that group that, you know, we have to, like, sort of let things play out a little bit. Like, Dak Prescott's a good example of a guy who, like I said, like, went through that process of the coaches were scheming things up for him as a rookie, and they were making him look good, and they were doing a little extra. And they had a great offensive line. They had Zeke, and, you know, Zeke won the rushing title 2 of his first 3 years. So he had all these things that were right around him, and Dak Prescott grew past that, right? Like, grew past, like, a little bit of struggle in year two to where now he's a real NFL quarterback. I think Jared Goff, same thing. Like, he had some struggles. He's grown through it. And it feels like Carson Wentz never got past that initial stage.
Albert, last thing on the Browns, 7-3, first time since 1994 that they have a record this good or better. They have a good chance to go to the playoffs for the first time in almost 20 years. And yet there's still a little bit of a sense, like, how good are they? They beat the Colts. Nice win. You know, but they, you know, got crushed by the Steelers and Ravens. Still have the Titans, Steelers, Ravens to go. What's your sense? How good are the Browns, in your opinion?
Like, they're... I mean, the best thing I can say about the Browns, and I don't want anybody to take this in a backhanded way, because I mean it is a high compliment. Like, they are consistently who you expect them to be every week, which yeah. I don't know, like, the last time you could say that about a Browns team. I mean, they've been incredibly consistent, right? And they ran into a really good Steelers team, and they got blown out. And look, that happens, you know? Like, the Steelers are beating everybody right now. They lost the Ravens. That was a blowout. That was week one. I don't know if I even really count that after the offseason everybody had, and you got a new head coach. I just think, like, what we've seen outside of those two games, like, on a week-to-week basis has been so consistent, and, like, that's the best thing you can say about them. Like, they've got good players in the roster. Like, that's there. You know, but I think as much as anything else, it just feels like a really – like, I'm going to use the word competent again, right? Like, a really competent operation, which, like, you look at where they've been, like, the last 20 years, and that's a major step forward. Yeah. And, like, if this is for good, well, then you've got something very real to build on, right? But I don't think they're winning the Super Bowl this year. I don't think they'll come close. I mean, I think they'd be lucky to win a playoff game this year. But, like, accomplishing what they've accomplished, I mean, I think there's a very, very real foundation there going forward. And we'll see where they take it. But, I mean, if you look at some of the coaches who've been through there, mm-hmm. you know, over the last, you know, 15 years, I'd be like almost everybody's failed to even get to that point. So I look at what we've seen, you know, through 10 games now as a very major step forward for the entire organization.
Albert, great insight as always. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you next week.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys and everybody in Ohio, all right?
Thank you, Albert.
You too, Albert.
Albert
Breer,
he's the best.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.